Hi, this is Carlos Samaniego. Welcome back to Carlos's Blend, where we talk business, life, and taxes. Got myself a little blend of iced tea here in this cup. And looking forward to today's episode. Today's episode is really important. I'm bringing on a special guest who I met down in San Diego. We spoke at a tax conference, Pronto Tax School conference down there. And I'm just going to welcome her on here, Marianne Briseño. Correct, Marianne?
Correct. How are you, Carlos? Nice seeing you again.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be here. I know it's funny. We're talking about the last time I saw you was down in San Diego. It was like last year, but we've been emailing each other, talking on the phone, dealing with client situations. And she's just been a resource of information for me. And Marianne is actually a bankruptcy attorney that actually understands taxes. Marianne, kind of tell us a little bit about you. I did notice that you went to school not too far from here, Cal Baptist.
I graduated
Cal Baptist. What got you into? Yeah, what got you into doing attorney work?
Well, I've always kind of wanted to do some attorney work. My grandfather on my dad's side was actually a tax attorney back in my country, mm-hmm. Peru, and he later came a judge. And so I do remember being in the courtroom when I was very little with my grandfather. So I think that kind of just stuck. But before I was an attorney, my mother has a incredibly busy and successful tax practice business. And so since I can remember, I must have been around 12 or 13, my mother just taught me how to do taxes. And at that time it was on pen and paper, you know, that pencil and that booklet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I learned. And then down the line, we just, you know, obviously, like, you know, now there's softwares and everything. So, so I've done taxes for a very long time, over 20 years. I want to say it's 25 years will be next year. But I kind of wanted to get into a little bit more than just the tax stuff. I like the representation part. But when I went to law school, like a lot of attorneys will tell you, some subjects will catch your attention more than others. So for me, once I started getting to law school, and although I thought I was going to be just a tax attorney, I fell in love with probate and bankruptcy. And that's kind of what I have my practice kind of around. And so the reason we actually met in Pronto is because I think I'm one of the few tax preparers that actually does the fiduciary taxes. And so I kind of, you know, scooped out a little bit of a niche when it came to that. And so the only taxes I still prepare, because I still prepare some taxes, and it's fiduciary taxes. That's the only taxes that I do right now, preparation wise. But it's become such an incredible asset to have in my attorney world to understand taxes, because you know that saying, right? There's only two things that are true: life, you know, death and taxes. And it is everywhere. Everything is affected by taxes. So it's an incredible benefit to me as an attorney now to really, really understand it in all aspects of the law.
Gotcha. You know, and like I said, you know, when I was watching your class, that we were speaking at, and you were talking about, you know, that's something I don't do. And I was just like, wow, what an amazing resource to be able to have to do these, you know, dealing with estates and fiduciary taxes and things like mm-hmm. that. So, but as I remember talking to you, you were talking about, yeah, I also do bankruptcy. And mm-hmm. one of the things I've noticed, because sometimes, you know, being a person that specializes in the resolution world, a lot of times you look at a situation and there, you know, not only is there a lot of taxes, there's also a lot of debt. And sometimes you're thinking, well, maybe the better option might be bankruptcy, if that makes sense. And that's usually, you know, me as a enrolled agent resolution, I can't tell somebody that. And I'm like, you know what, you need to talk to somebody that can kind of give you the advice of, is it possible to do bankruptcy and maybe kill two birds with one stone, right? Tax debt and consumer debt, if you have that. Can you kind of explain kind of, you know, from your point of view, you know, obviously there's different types of bankruptcies and how they could actually help, you know, again, a lot of people that are watching this channel have tax debt. Mm-hmm. And there's different types of bankruptcy. Can you kind of just give a small summary in regards to that, or what that is?
Yeah. So the for individuals, right? So we'll focus on individuals. So there's two types of bankruptcies. There's the one that everybody hears about, the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the fresh start one, right? It discharges everything, gives you like a fresh start, okay? I mean, it discharges most of the stuff. There's certain things that is not dischargeable, student loans and those types of specialty stuff. They sometimes are not dischargeable. Again, that's a Chapter 7. So you put everything in, if you qualify for it, you get discharged everything at the end. And then there's a Chapter 13. I like to think of Chapter 13 like a restructure of your finances. It's generally a 5-year plan. You make payments based on the excess income that you have after all of your necessities, after all of your rent or mortgage and whatever other bills that you may have that are necessary. And that's an important thing to say, because sometimes we may have an expense for, I don't know, my Louis Vuitton bag upkeep, but that may not be a necessary expense
Right,
for
right.
the bankruptcy courts. Okay, so it's necessary expenses. And so then you make a plan with the bankruptcy courts under the watchful eye of a trustee for 5 years. And then after the 5 years, if you've done everything you're supposed to, then you get a discharge. They're a little bit different. The type of people that qualify for a seven sometimes don't qualify. I mean, some people that qualify for Chapter 7, they're very strict on the income levels. Sometimes when you make a little too much income, but you may still need some sort of restructuring, a Chapter 13 would be a beneficial
Oh, okay.
to
Gotcha.
do.
Gotcha.
So that's generally the differences between the two.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So with a 13, and just recently I'm dealing with quite a few clients that, there isn't much income in terms of to be able to pay back these large debts, but there are some major assets. It might be equity in a home or things like that. And they're also higher on the higher income side. So are you, so what you're saying is that when they're on the higher income side, a 13 might be a more logical choice.
It is. It may be, possibly, So, like I said, so Chapter 7, the income restrictions are very strict. So there's not a lot of wiggle room. When we have higher income earners, I'm usually looking towards this Chapter 13 to see if it's something that would be beneficial for them. However, Chapter 13 is a serious commitment. We're talking 5 years under the watchful eye of somebody. They want your taxes every year. You can't have additional debt. If you get a raise, that money doesn't go to you, it goes to them, so it's a commitment, it's a big plan. I can definitely tell you the Chapter 13s, they fail. Sometimes clients just don't do what they're supposed to, but if you have a really good successful Chapter 13, it could really really be a benefit for somebody that's a higher income, earner and may need just that restructure and that kind of reprieve of some of these much larger debts that otherwise they would probably never be able to pay off in full.
Well, that's interesting because the 5 years. We both know when it comes to an offer and compromise, you're kind of on probation for 5 years, and
Exactly, very similar.
yeah, and sometimes people can't. Like you're saying, is that it's strict, and you can't mess up during those 5 years. And you'll find this as a crack up, Marianne. I was just frustrated. I actually had almost $160,000 offer accepted in 2 weeks. Fastest I've ever happened. An offer
That's a
accepted in 2 weeks.
miracle.
It's a miracle. 2 weeks was accepted. And guess what he forgot to do the day after April 15th?
Oh, he forgot to do his taxes.
He called me up. I need to do my taxes. I'm like, are you kidding me? We just had your offer accepted less than a month ago and you forgot to do your taxes. So luckily he didn't owe any money, but I'm hoping the IRS is kind of says, okay, this is a one-time gimme, but you're right. It's just very strict guidelines in terms of doing taxes and things like that. Well, my next question for you was, what types of tax debts are dischargeable in bankruptcy? A lot of people think that, all their tax debt are discharged, are all debt, period. But I know in the tax realm, there's only certain debts. In fact, we had one case. You said, Can you go check to make sure it's not this type of debt? Can we talk a little about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's very clear by the tax law what things you're able to discharge or not. Generally speaking, income tax debt, generally speaking, could be dischargeable. There's some real large restrictions as far as how old it can be. It has to have been filed on time. It has to have been what we call it, right? It can't be, a return that the IRS has done for you, right?
Substitute, right?
Okay, so if any of those, especially that one, if it's a tax return that the IRS did on your behalf or the state, okay, that debt will never be dischargeable. There is nothing you can do. So do your taxes. Even if they're a little late, at least you do them, okay?
Right.
So generally, those are dischargeable. What's not dischargeable, any taxes that have to do with trust fund taxes, those are not dischargeable. Anything that the IRS has deemed to have been due to an audit based on fraud is not dischargeable.
Right.
Property taxes are not dischargeable. General taxes, as far as like I said, the properties, trust fund taxes, any of those types of taxes are not, just generally income taxes, like what I owed when I did my personal income taxes on my tax return.
Right.
Those are generally it.
And Marianne brought up a really good point. She had mentioned trust fund taxes, and if you don't know what a trust fund tax is, it basically deals with payroll. So if you had a company and there were payroll taxes that you were supposed to pay from your employer, from your employees to the IRS or the state, those are considered trust fund taxes. So
Exactly.
just in case on that.
And I guess the reason, if you really think about it, right? Because you're supposed to be in trust of somebody else's money. They're not going to allow you to get rid of that obligation. You're still going to be obliged to go ahead and pay that back.
Exactly. And like a lot of people in this industry specifically say, that trust fund tax, when you don't pay your own taxes, you just failed to pay your own taxes. But when you don't pay trust fund, you stole money. You
Absolutely.
collected money that was supposed to be sent to the government, and you literally stole the money. So the IRS takes that a lot more serious.
Absolutely.
Now, right now, I actually, right before this call, I actually got a call from the state of California, took $10,000 from a prospect of mine that wants his money back. Can bankruptcy stop bank levies and wage garnishments and things like that if you file bankruptcy?
Yeah, it definitely will put the brakes on for a little bit. So what happens when you file for bankruptcy is an automatic stay is placed on everything, every proceedings that you have, good or bad, okay? And the reason I say good or bad, because you could be having another proceeding to, I don't know, refinance your house or anything.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
just it freezes everything, okay? And that's what it's there for. It's supposed to kind of just freeze the moment when you file for bankruptcy until the bankruptcy is taken care of. So yes, so if you do file for bankruptcy while you're getting levied, whether it's your check or your bank account, it will freeze it. It may not be permanent though. There is a way for the state, the government, and other entities, not just government entities, individuals and debtor and creditors that you owe, they can apply for relief of stay, meaning that they have a good cause to not allow you to have whatever proceeding is happening frozen until your discharge is given. That can happen from anything. It could be a lawsuit that you're under. And if there's a good reason for that lawsuit to continue, the bankruptcy court will grant that relief from that automatic stay that gets placed on.
And one thing too, a lot of people don't realize is that a bankruptcy also extends the statute collection date for the IRS and the state of California typically, because.
Yes. And not only that, but it also extends, so and it also will extend it past the period of discharge. So generally speaking, after you receive your discharge, which that could take generally maybe 4 to 6 months to receive it from the date that you filed normally. Once you receive your discharge, it takes an additional up to 6 months for the IRS to get the notice and to kind of restart collections or restart anything. And so it's for the entire time that you were under bankruptcy plus the entire time that it takes for the IRS to get notice and to restart the collections. So it's a very large period of extension. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I've seen that multiple times where people have asked me, well, Carlos, hasn't my the statute for the IRS to collect on this? And we'll look at those transcripts and see, hey, did you file a bankruptcy on so and so date? And a lot of times they'll say, oh, I started it but never finished it, never completed it or got discharged. But even that time frame actually extends that collection date for the
Absolutely.
collection.
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, as we're wrapping up here, and this has just been amazing. What are some? I got two questions left. What on the California side? A lot of, we both live in California. Don't we actually live not, what 45 minutes away from each other? What's the difference in regards to filing bankruptcy for state debt? Is it the same? Are there different rules when we're dealing with the state of California, for instance? Are there debts you can't collect?
It's similar. They still have so the same thing, right? So the California has the same type of restrictions. It has to be within a certain time. Same thing, right? They can't be audited type of taxes. They can't be addition. They can't be a tax return that California has done for you. But just to remember, bankruptcy is a federal transaction, okay? So meaning it's federal, right? So some states, California will allow you to discharge some of their income taxes, but there's some states that don't. So I would definitely recommend if you are interested in bankruptcy, while generally speaking, when we give advice regarding bankruptcy, we're talking federal wise. It's always good to check with your state to see if your state has different restrictions. In California, it's very similar to the federal, but it is California, and you know how that is.
Absolutely.
It's a different beast. They have different rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, what are some, if somebody's thinking about doing tax using bankruptcy to get rid of tax debt, what are some common pitfalls or mistakes that people might make in regards to kind of looking down that avenue?
Well, the number one thing you need to do is absolutely what you had already kind of talked about was getting that transcript. It's very important to get that transcript from a preparer or EA, CPA that understands so that we can really make a good evaluation if they're even qualified for that. But another thing that I found that would sometimes not allow people to do bankruptcy is they have these continued, the people that always get tax debt because they're not taking enough out of their checks, on purpose, always going exempt.
Exactly.
Not, terrible thing to do, especially when in the eyes of the government. That's one of the reasons why you may not get a discharge if you do something like that and it continues. They technically they don't have to give you anything. So and then another pitfall is I don't know why people do this, but they say I'm gonna go bankruptcy and I'm gonna just max out all my credit cards. Please don't do that. And also, do not use a credit card to pay your tax debt that you want to try to discharge on a credit card later. If you use a credit card to pay your tax debt, okay, that credit card, pause, if that type of tax debt would not have been dischargeable, that credit card won't be dischargeable.
Wow, did not
So,
know that.
yeah, so be very careful. You can pay off tax debt with credit cards. I mean, people do it all the time, but if that tax debt would not have been dischargeable, that credit card won't be either.
So they actually look closely on how that tax debt was actually paid off. Wow, okay.
Granted, it's up to the credit card companies to kind of bring it up to the trustee or the government. It's not your
Gotcha.
job, but but they see a lot. So just remember that you're really opening up your financial world to the government for them to peruse through it while you're getting this benefit of discharge. So for that reason, they do take a really close look, run records, don't transfer property. They run vehicle records. They run every record there is to see if there's any bank accounts under somebody's name that you've put money in. So just don't do any of that. If you're th really thinking about bankruptcy, just go to a bankruptcy attorney and they can kind of let you know whether or not you qualify. Or really, what I tell my clients is let's prepare for bankruptcy.
Bingo.
If that's what we want to do, let's prepare for it. Let's see where we're at today. Let's see what else we need to do, and let's prepare for bankruptcy. Let's not just go out there and just file it. We get one chance to do it right, so let's make sure to take our time to do that.
It's almost like when we do offers and compromise. Let's prepare and let's plan on how we're going to get this done.
Absolutely.
Marriott, well, if somebody is looking to hire a bankruptcy attorney, an attorney, whether all the different all the different areas of law that you practice, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, is www.thebriseñofirm.com. There's a contact page on there. You can just send us a message and someone will contact you to set up a free consultation. Normally, I give a 30-minute free consultation and I just kind of go over whatever needs you may have. And that's really the best way to anybody to reach me.
Thank you for joining us at Carlos's Blend, where we talk life, business, and taxes. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.